Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good afternoon. Good evening. I want to welcome you to the August 26th edition of The Next Phase with Ice and Friends. And thank you for joining us. And always, as I get it started, I'd like to give you a brief synopsis of what the show's about, what we try to do here. The Next Phase with Ice and Friends, the description is any comments or first, I want to make this disclaimer. Any comments or opinions you hear on this show do not necessarily represent the views and or beliefs of the hosts, sponsors, or Blog Talk Radio. This show addresses community concerns in regard to designing ways members in the community can increase their abilities to acquire more income for themselves. In addition to that, methods to address increasing political strength and impact will also be featured. Financial enhancement, increasing political strength and impact, and improving possibilities for combining efforts with others who have similar interests. All of these and more poignant concerns will be approached in an entertaining format, hopefully. There will be musical segments from time to time, interesting guests as well, and questions and comments from our listening audience are always welcome and encouraged. If you have an interest in improving situations for our youth, STEM and incarceration, for example, STEM and incarceration estimates for minority members in our society, reassessing the significance of the spiritual impact in our community, and investigating the possible means of boosting knowledge for improving your health, as well as many pertinent topics too numerous to include here, please join us on the next phase with Ice and Friends. And I'd like to let you know that if you have, if you feel like calling, give us a call. I'm hoping that I have a friend of mine come through today, but if not, I'll understand. The number to call is 347-945-7040. And today, I'm going to just kick us off with with some interesting information that it was emailed to me. And some things that I had no idea that occurred this month, August. This August has 5 Sundays, 5 Mondays, and 5 Tuesdays. All right? Now, is that strange or not, right? All in the same month. It happens once. Guess how many years it happens? Every 823 years that happens. Also, 2 moons on August 27, 2010. Tomorrow, 2 moons. So you look out for that. It's 27th of August. The whole world is waiting for. Planet Mars will be the brightest in the night sky starting in August. It will look as large as the full moon, right, to the naked eye. This is this will culminate August 27th when Mars comes within 34.65 million miles of Earth. So I want you to be sure to watch the sky tomorrow around 12:30 a.m. and I'm assuming that's Central Time. It'll look like the Earth has 2 moons, and it says the next time that Mars will come this close to be 2287. How old will you be when that occurs, right? Okay, share this with your friends, as no one alive today will ever see it again. Those are some interesting observations that were emailed to me, and I really appreciate the individual who did it. You know, some of the topics that I wanted to address today was I wanted to speak in regard to the celebration of Dr. Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, August 28th. I can't remember what the year was, so please overlook me for that. And, you know, there's a guy that's been getting a lot of play off of utilizing this date. And it's interesting, some of the observations that were really prominent for me. This guy is a guy named Glenn Beck. I'm sure you've heard of him. And, you know, some of the observations that I got were, well, one of the speakers is supposed to be, he's going to have I don't know that you would call it a demonstration, but he's going to have a gathering or whatever you might want to call it on the Lincoln Memorial, I believe, in Washington, D.C. on the 28th. And, you know, what I think about this guy, you know, you want to, if God can make a donkey talk, you know, surely he can put a word or two in my mouth that'll be worthwhile in my mouth, I'm saying. Now, I'm hoping that something good will come of this event, although, you know, it's hard for me to find anything good to express about it. But one of the individuals that he's going to have there, and this is what's unique to me, is a little lady named Sarah Palin. Now, Sarah Palin is, she's back in some of the right-wing individuals that are in political campaigns this for the U.S. House of Representatives this year in November. And, you know, I'm thinking about her, and I'm thinking that it's really ironic that she uses terms like reload, and she really talks about her prowess with firearms and weapons. And it's ironic that Dr. King was killed by a firearm. So I'm wondering, you know, at this event that they're going to have, with all the events that happened in the past, if they're going to have weapons there, the way they did at President Obama, some of the meetings that he had where they had the guys with the weapons strapped on. I wonder if that's going to be a significant part of their event. And also, it was totally unique about Ms. Palin that she would, support really distasteful remarks about autistic children. You know, because she has an autistic child, and I can't understand for the life of me why that she would support distasteful or degrading remarks about autistic children. And I mean, she what she did was she supported this Dr. Laura, you know, on her First Amendment rights. And so I'm assuming that in regard, you know, in addition to the Dr. Laura's reference to the N-word, that also Ms. Palin would protect her right to or anyone else's right to use disparaging terms in regard to autistic children or either people of other ethnicities. And you know, she wants to be, you know, I think she's promoting candidates that will go to represent her ideology, and that's going to be interesting, having candidates in office possibly or potentially that would support the disparaging comments about autistic children or different ethnic groups, because that all is covered under the First Amendment rights, I'm assuming, as well as I guess she's supporting also the right for the mosque to be built in New York, because after all, that's the First Amendment concern, I think, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, similar views, you know, of using those disparaging terms. And I wonder if anyone disagreed with her because she wanted to support the mosque being built, because that is a First Amendment right, that I wonder if she would call it hypersensitive. Or if someone, you know, made a statement about an autistic child. Or maybe if they made an anti-Semitic remark, would that be considered, if someone disagreed with it, being hypersensitive? I'm wondering if the people that are railing against this mosque being built, if you would consider them to be hypersensitive, since they are in direct opposition to the individuals who want to exercise their First Amendment rights. But then, you know, those are just some of the concerns that goes through ICE's mind. They may or may not go through yours, but they do mine. I mean, it's interesting that, welcome, guest 3753. It's interesting to me, and my friend, if you get a chance to come on and I don't recognize you, give me a call. I keep checking back on the switchboard to see if you're here. But the number is 347-945-7040. If you want to give us a call here on the next phase with Black Ice and Friends. Anyway, you know, these are some of the things that come to my mind when I hear people defending the First Amendment. These are the same people that are railing against the mosque that support the flying of the Confederate flag. Now, the Confederate flag to me signifies that there were people who were lynched and who were enslaved. And so that's not offensive, right? Because that's the First Amendment, right? So the mosque, I guess, aren't those two equal events or ideas, you know, that you would have, you, if you're going to support the First Amendment right for people to fly the Confederate flag, shouldn't you also support the First Amendment right for people to build a mosque? These are just some ideas that have been going through my mind. You know, as I said before, the mind of ice, you know, I just have too much time to think sometimes. Anyway, one of the articles that I wanted to take a look at was Why Fox News' Southern Strategy Could Sink the Network. And I found this on the Griot, and the author was David A. Love. And what this article talks about is Fox News host Glenn Beck recently compared America under the Obama administration to the planet of the apes. But then that's his First Amendment right. Fox News doesn't like black people. So is it any surprise that blacks don't tune in? Anyway, recently Think Progress reported that according to the Nielsen ratings, only 29,000 black viewers have watched Fox News Channel this television season out of 2.102 million total viewers. This means that the African Americans make up a mere 1.38% of Fox's total audience. So I guess that would be one reason that they wouldn't try to encourage or use any marketing strategy that would have the people of African descent to be involved with their network. You know, that's a pathetically low number of black folks, but we shouldn't be surprised in the least. After all, given that network's recent treatment of Shirley Sherrod, her story, its long history of race baiting and racially offensive statements of Fox on-air hosts such as Glenn Beck, it only makes sense that black people would not tune in to a television network that disrespects and scapegoats them and calls them out of their name, so to speak. But does it matter? With a diversifying U.S. population, does it matter that Fox News, a major news outlet, supposedly not a news outlet. I disagree with that. But this man, David A. Love, he calls them a major news network outlet. I don't think they're a news outlet at all. But anyway, a major news outlet only seems to cater to white audience. Could a lack of diversity come back to bite Fox News? I'm not sure. I'm not sure there are that many people of African descent who are activists in that regard, that they would unify to the extent that they would, you know, use another type of marketing strategy. They would market other networks, abandon the sponsors that sponsor on Fox Network News. I'm not sure that people of African descent would take it to that extreme, but there's always that possibility. And could it influence Fox News? I'm not real sure. The Fox News coverage of Shirley Sherrod affair revealed once again that the network not only has a problem with the truth, it has a black people problem. Fox aired a heavily edited video of a speech given by the former U.S. Department of Agriculture official via conservative blogger and media hitman Andrew Breitbart. The video of Sherrod, who was speaking before the NAACP function, gave the impression that she was a racist who had refused to assist a white farmer in need in 1986. In reality, Sherrod, who became a civil rights activist after her father, a black farmer, was murdered by a white farmer, understood the need to help this poor white man who was in the same boat as poor black people. But that narrative of reconciliation did not fit with the conservative mantra of black racism. Echoing from Fox News, a reaction to the NAACP's charges of racism in the Tea Party movement. Sure, it was lambasted by the Fox News host before the facts came out. And some Fox a personality such as Sean Hannity, whom I call Sham Insanity, and Dick Morris and Monica Crowley, called for her resignation on air, even after the racism charge was debunked. For Fox News, this is nothing new. There was an excessive coverage of the manufactured new Black Panther scandal, and charges that the Obama Justice Department was motivated by racial bias when it dropped charges against the group for voter intimidation. Then there was the airing of the Fox of the fake pimping video, once again courtesy of Breitbart, that fairly cast the community-based organization Acorn in an unfair light and led to the group's demise. That's Acorn's demise. You notice that Fox is systematically attempting to destroy any organized group of people of African descent, of the people of African descent. At the same time, they're supporting new organized groups such as the Tea Party. And these are things I think that we should be made aware of, and for only one reason, that we are going to have to coalesce in order to improve the situation here in the United States of America, in my opinion. And the only way that we can coalesce is that we're going to have groups who have common ideas and beliefs and desires for the United States of America that are in opposition generally from these individuals who Fox supports. Recently, Greta Van Susteren's show showed a photo of Shirley Sherrod while discussing Congresswoman Maxine Waters, forcing the host to apologize. Apparently, Fox News is easily confused by Black people, presumably because we all look alike. Similarly, a few years ago, the network aired footage of Harold Ford Jr. during a discussion of Barack Obama and showed Representative John Conyers as they discussed an indictment for former Representative William Jefferson, Democrat of Louisiana. To add to that, blatantly, racist appeals by Fox have given Black viewers a reason to turn the channel. For example, the network promoted Tea Party activists' activities as a virtual media arm and official network of the movement. Fox anchor E.D. Hill called the Barack and Michelle Obama's fist bump a terrorist fist jab. Last year, Glenn Beck called President Obama a racist who has deep-seated hatred of white people or the white culture, even though the half white Obama is half white, and the majority of his administration is as well, a charge with which Fox boss Rupert Murdoch agreed. Beck also, and infamously, asked Representative Keith Ellison, Democrat of Minnesota, the first Muslim member of Congress, to prove he is not a terrorist. How can you? Well, anyway, and Beck announced that he will hold an August 28th march in Washington called the Restoring Honor, and on the 47th anniversary of Martin Luther King, 47th anniversary then, of Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech at the Lincoln Memorial, no less. Sarah Palin and the National Rifle Association will join Beck that day, presumably just as Beck thinks Dr. King would have wanted it. In some ways, the situation in which Fox finds itself is not unlike that of the Republican Party. Both have depended on the Southern strategy of sorts. Now, I don't know if you remember the Southern strategy. A lot of younger people probably don't know, and maybe some of the older people don't know, but it was a strategy. I can't remember when exactly it was developed. But there was a coalition of farmers in the South that had a pretty influential, that had a very, very strong influential voting bloc. And what some politicians found was that if they exploited the differences ethnically and culturally in those farmers, that the farmers' coalition would fall apart, which it did fall apart. And then they could exploit that fragmentation of the coalition between the farmers who had a legitimate agricultural interest, and they could exploit it. They could divide the two groups and pit them against each other, and then they could take advantage of all those possible opportunities that evolved from that particular situation. And what it says here is, in some ways, the situation in which Fox finds itself is not unlike that of the Republican Party. Both have depended on the Southern strategy of sorts. The Wu white conservative support based on raw appeals to racial fears of whites, a fixation on tax cuts, social programs, and other issues that merely their code word for black racial and a fabrication of the truth. Their constituencies are the same: low information voters, a technical term meaning uneducated, who will believe anything they are told. And for both the GOP and Fox, it is translated into success. The Republican Party has won many elections through polarization, and Fox has benefited from the increasing polarization, politicization of its news audience. Interestingly, Republicans who mistrust most news sources rank Fox News as the most trusted news source, while Democrats rate it as the least trusted news source. Meanwhile, there seems to be trouble on the horizon for Fox and the GOP, changing demographics. By the year 2050, whites will become a minority. 2050, let's see, it's 2010, 40 years, whites will become a minority in the United States, and soon a majority of the babies born in the country will be of color. So given the browning of America, how does Fox deal with this reality? Good question. I want to see how this author, David Love, addresses this. There was a smart corporate people at the top. There are smart corporate people at the top at Fox, and you know they're thinking about it, says David Lerner, president of Riptide Communications, a New York-based progressive press agency whose clients specialize in social justice issues. Lerner thinks that black people not watching Fox will have no effect on other viewers. They have a political mission. I think of them as a fringe, even though they're not. Other networks follow them. CNN followed the Tea Party after Fox did. In time, that's going to hurt them because they don't have a guest or news programming that appeal to more diverse population, a learner added. Right now, they're sitting pretty. They have other networks lapping at their heels. They get a lot of attention for being Fox. But the numbers being what they are, I think that down the line it will hurt them. They will become less relevant as the country gets browner. Lerner found that Fox editorial position on issues such as immigration appalling, particularly given the network is headed by an Australian immigrant. And he wonders if the network will bring in Spanish language news programming to appeal to a broader audience, as Fox Sports does. With the soccer coverage. They are still the leaders in viewership. So in terms of market share, they are doing well. Advertisers reach all the networks and go to the Fox Fox because of their older viewership. They will take hits on their views because of their older white male demographic. Meanwhile, other observers believe that Fox News is bad for business and advertisers will drop like flies because they do not want their product associated with the divisive, highly racialized rhetoric of Glenn Beck and other Fox on-air personalities. The Southern Party, a Poverty Law Center, notes that polarizing figures such as Beck are dangerous and have aided in the rise of violent radical patriot movement. With the assortment of militias, white supremacists, anti-immigrant nativists, and other hate groups, just to make the point, Beck listed the tweet "embrace white culture." Now, but from a neo-Nazi group, among his favorite tweets, this is Beck, who is being supported by Palin, and let me think, someone else. And the National Rifle Association, and Dick Armey, and the Tea Party. Okay, let me see. Let me get this right. Beck, Sarah Palin, National Rifle Association, and Dick Armey. And what they say is, just to make the point, Beck listed the tweet "embrace white culture" from a neo-Nazi group among his favorite tweets. And he wants to unify, and he wants to have an event on Martin Luther King's anniversary of I Have a Dream speech. Plus, he has associated and appeared with well-known members of white supremacist and neo-Confederate groups. Beck is fond of the Oath Keepers, a group of soldiers and veterans that pledges to disobey unconstitutional orders for what they believe is a tyrannical government. They are well-trained, gun-toting, Obama-hating, and conspiratorial, and they are dangerous. Now, you know, I hope that you really heard this segment that I just read. And, again, you can find this on the Grio. And the tag is Why Fox News' Southern Strategy Could Sink the Network. And it's by David A. Love. You know, I mean, that, do you mind if let me read this article. I mean, let me read this paragraph again. It says, meanwhile, other observers believe that Fox News is bad for business and advertisers will drop like flies because they do not want their products. You see, we are consumers of products. We don't have to be violent. You know, we don't have to be really antagonistic. We purchase products, and marketers and manufacturers market products. Now, if we don't choose to support the products that supports Beck's programming, that's not violent. That's just exercising our freedom of choice. But anyway, meanwhile, other observers believe that Fox News is bad for business and advertisers will drop like flies because they do not want their products associated with the divisive, highly racialized rhetoric of Glenn Beck and other Fox on-air personalities. The Southern Poverty Law Center notes that polarizing figures such as Beck are dangerous and have aided in the rise of violent, radical, patriot movement, with the assortment of malicious, white supremacist, anti-immigrant nativist, and other hate groups. You understand what I'm saying? This is Glenn Beck, you know, the amiable, lovable. This is Glenn Beck. This is Glenn Beck. This is not me making this up. This is not me going to some radical left-wing rag trying to give you some misinformation. This is Glenn Beck. Just to make the point, Beck listed the tweet, Embrace White Culture, from a neo-Nazi group. Now, does a neo-Nazi group appeal to Sarah Palin, then appeal to Dr. Laura? Neo-Nazi group. Beck listed the tweet, Embrace White Culture, from a neo-Nazi group among his favorite tweets. Not just any tweet, his favorite tweets. Plus, he has associated and appeared with well-known members of white supremacist and neo-Confederate groups. Beck is fond of the Oath Keepers, a group of soldiers and veterans that pledges to disobey unconstitutional orders from what they believe is a tyrannical government. See, they are well-trained, gun-toting, Obama-hating, and conspiratorial, and they are dangerous, armed and dangerous. Now, you know, you didn't see the poor little old two Black Panthers, armed and dangerous. You haven't heard of the poor little old two Black Panthers lynching and hanging and burning crosses. You know, that's something I never heard the Black Panthers do, was lynch people or burn crosses. You know, I heard them trying to feed the youth, you know, try to give them breakfast and free lunches and try to provide support for communities that were downtrodden. But anyway, you know, think what you may. Anyway, I think fringe militia leaders wouldn't have much influence if not for the aiding and abetting that they are getting from so many mainstream figures. Mainstream figures. Mark Potok of the Southern Poverty Leader Center told NPR. I'm talking about the Tom Tancredos, Michelle Bachmans, Lou Dobbs, Glenn Becks of Fox News, of course, spent three shows speculating on whether or not it was so that FEMA had constructed a whole set of secret concentration camps. Ultimately, in his fourth show, he decided it was not true and quote-unquote debunked it. But the real point was that for three entire shows, he hawked this point. And Glenn Beck has close to 3 million listeners. Can you imagine 3 million people that would... it's really difficult for me to imagine 3 million people that would follow this guy and trust him and believe in his words. But if 3 million, okay. And a lot of those people follow him religiously, really believe that these things are true. And Beck bears responsibility for the Obama administration throwing Van Jones, the green job czar, under the bus. Potok noted that they fired Jones, a White House environmental advisor, after Fox's Glenn Beck made false, not accurate, fair and balanced, but false claims that he was a black nationalist and former radical communist who was using green jobs as a form of stealth reparations. Reparations. Reparations is like, to restore the wetlands, the estuaries, the beaches, and the barrier islands in Louisiana, to repair the damage done by the private company BP to the shrimpers and all those different individuals, repairing them, reparations. Anyway, the movement to boycott Glenn Beck has been very successful with 136 sponsors dropped. And this is nonviolent. I mean, all you do is you just stop supporting the sponsors that support Glenn Beck. And it's very simple. Once you do that, then, Glenn Beck, he's got to go and look for some different sponsors. But anyway, with 136 sponsors dropped from his show, as of this publication, yet the movement has received little attention. Colorofchange.org, change, colorofchange.org, has waged a successful campaign to pull advertiser support from Beck's show via an online petition. Nothing violent. Nothing real antagonistic. COLOR of OF Change, all one word, .org. Anyway, and one of the powerhouses behind the highly effective Beck boycott effort is Angelo Curasoni with his StopBeck.com website and his Twitter page. StopBeck.com is a nonpartisan effort focused on holding Glenn Beck accountable for preying on racial anxieties, employing vitriolic rhetoric, propagating sexism, and disseminating willful distortions, on purpose. Our purpose is to urge sponsors to stop supporting Glenn Beck's brand of hate and advertising dollars, Curasoni states on his website. He stresses that his efforts are not about Beck's politics, but rather his recklessness, concluding that neither Fox News nor Glenn Beck will take any responsibility for the willful lies, sexism, or preying on racial anxieties. Accordingly, we are compelled to bring accountability back to broadcasting. We would prefer that Mr. Beck, regardless of his opinions, act responsibly. Regardless of his opinions, prefer no guns, no violence. We would prefer that he would act responsibly. And whatever the boycott movement and applying public pressure, whenever it fails, whatever the boycott movement and applying public pressure fails to accomplish, time almost certainly will finish off. Today, Fox is feared by the Obama administration and now has a front row seat in the White House briefing room based on the network's length of service and commitment to the White House television pool. But time will one day run out for Fox News' channel's divisive brand of pseudo-news entertainment and the extent that racial polarization and incitement to violence can pass for entertainment. Besides, as some media experts note, much of Fox News' programming centers around themes such as 9/11, which will become an historical fact that won't resonate politically anymore, and young people are greatly in favor of gay marriage, which flies in the face of Fox's Archie Bunker strategy of chasing older white conservative males prone to bigotry and intolerance. On this, a learner makes it plain. There is no other reason to be optimistic other than that these people, I hate to say this, will be dying off. And this was an article by called Why Fox News Southern Strategy Could Sink the Network by David Love, and I got that out of the Griot. So if you want to take a look at it, you go right ahead and do that. Anyway, hey, Alpha, welcome. Dude, let me, can you give me a call? Hey, Black Magic Woman, how you doing? Doc Don, thank you for joining us in the room. And you guys, please feel free to call. Let me check the switchboard. If you call, oh, there you are. Let me put you on here. 773, who we have?
Hey, how's it going, Black?
Is this Alpha?
Yeah.
ALFO, you better give me your show. Doc Don, if you feel like calling Black Magic Woman, any of you guys, please give us a call. Alpha, tell me what time and when your show is on, brother, please. And thank you for calling in.
My show is on at 3 o'clock Eastern time on Saturday afternoon, and I do a second hour at 4 o'clock Eastern, right behind it.
And how do we find you?
At blogtalkradio.com/Alpha.
How you spell it?
A-L-F-O.
A-L-F-O, thank you.
Okay. You know, Black, you've covered quite extensively this fear mongering, this bigotry, this racism.
Right. Yes, sir.
And let me add this, because it's not that you left things out, but I just
want to
add
anything you want to, brother. I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Glenn Beck has lost 136 sponsors. How is it that he's still on the air? Okay? You lose 136 sponsors, I don't care what you're selling, what you're pushing, unless you're being subsidized by a shadow, by a greater power, by a wealthier entity. You will not stay on the air.
Right.
Fox News, the News Corp, I believe is the name of the parent company. Once you get it into that, they've branched out with so many tentacles. Their local stations do not carry the rhetoric or the bigotry as their cable station, their main station, carries. Their sports does not carry that racial tinge. Their programming does not carry that racial tinge. So they have sprouted out into a multi-tentacled, call them an octopus, call them a spider, however. But these entities are being funded. Just as the think tanks, Prosperity for America, FreedomWorks, there are hundreds of them.
Right.
And the majority of them have been tentacled, and the mothership is the Koch brothers of Koch Industries.
Exactly.
And these brothers at Koch Industries have inherited the second largest oil company in the country and the second largest business, privately owned business, in the country. And they have been funding this type of hatred for 30
right.
years. Their father funded the John Birch Society, a well-known hate fear-mongering group. You know, if you really look at it and look back into the history, and I posted it in your chat room, and it's a long read, but it's from a reporter from the New Yorker.
Okay.
And she investigated and dug into these Koch brothers.
Wow.
They have been funding over 40 to 50 different think tanks.
Right.
They have, that's how the Glenn Beck people are getting to the to Washington, D.C. They're being bussed in by Americans for Prosperity, which is funded by the Koch brothers.
Right.
Glenn Beck could not stay on the air unless he was being backed by a shadow financier. And this shadow financier, I don't care. You can stop, you know, these groups end up going after the sponsors. But these sponsors have to be held accountable because all they've done is move these sponsors to different Fox programs. Fox News should be the target. There should be a movement to shut Fox News down for, you can call it, you give it a name, fear, hate mongering, racism, peddling, trolling for assassins, as they have been successful in doing. The latest Muslim hate act was the slashing of the cab driver in New York.
Right, right.
There is another hate act that happened where a man entered the mosque and urinated on all of the prayer rugs.
Well, I didn't know that.
Now, that's something that I just heard of today, and I didn't get the particulars on it, but this is spreading. This is hatred. This is real Nazi Adolf Hitler. And see, they accuse everybody of being a Nazi. They point the fingers and say, "You," and that's what they're most guilty of. This is nothing more than mid-century, 20th century Germany that is being reenacted. It's coming to life, and it's all behind the Koch brothers. They're the makers of brawny towels. Don't buy another brawny towel as long as you live. Samsonite flooring, and there's another site that gives you all of the products that the Koch brothers, the Koch Industries, make. And wouldn't you know that most of the things they make are oil-based?
Right, exactly.
Oil is the base of this is why this is the 800-pound elephant in the room when it comes to legalizing marijuana. It's not marijuana that's the problem. It's the marijuana, the drug that they vilify. Their biggest fear is that hemp will be allowed to be grown in this country. And if you can get three crops of hemp, and it'll grow in any and all climates, that hemp is also can also replace any and all oil-based products.
Right.
That hemp can be, I mean, you if it's an oil-based product of any plastics, of whatever oil-based products there are, can be replaced with hemp.
You know,
and that will undermine and basically alleviate us from the dependency on oil. That helps us on that side. On the fuel side, we have to go with the windmills and the solar panels and the electric cars. This is a war. And, you know, the African Americans, the so-called leaders, should be standing in unison. When the NAACP came out with their little resolution, and they went their hat in their hands to the Tea Party leaders begging bigots to denounce racists. They weren't having it. And they immediately pushed back and pushed the NAACP into a hole, into a corner.
Right.
And that's what you see, and that's what you have. This is the new civil rights movement. Shut down Fox News for bigotry, hatred, and fear-mongering, and trolling for an assassin, for being un-American, for simply being anti-white supremacy. If it's not white, They're worse than the skinheads. They have more power than the neo-Nazis and more influence than the Klan, because
right.
they have that, the biggest weapon of all, and that's the media. That's the print, audio, and the visual media, and that's what they're using.
You know, hey, let me just jump in here and say, Alpha, thank you, and I want you to give the time of your show and all that again, but I want to welcome Black Magic Woman, Doc Don Navazor. Thank you so much for being here. Doc Don wrote in the chat room. You probably can see it, Alpha, that regardless, Geico is the latest corporate sponsor refusing to be associated with Beck. Geico joins Lawyers.com, Procter & Gamble, Progressive Insurance, Men's Warehouse, State Farm, Sargento, and SC Johnson in boycotting Glenn Beck's show. His display of corporate responsibility, his display of corporate responsibility is admirable. Yet there are still some corporate holdouts: General Electric, Farmers Insurance, Office Depot, Nestle's, Gerber, Red Lobster, Travelocity, the U.S. Postal Service, Walmart, Wyeth, and all of the Target stores, and all Targets. And I'm a target for the ongoing boycotting of being sponsored by colorofchange.org. Color of Change, C-O-L-O-R, of change.org. And Alpha, what did you put in the room just now right here?
That is the story. That is the story about the Coke industry, the Coke brothers.
Oh, thank you.
It's spelled K-O-C-H.
Absolutely,
it's pronounced Coke.
You know what, bro? They're from right here where I am. I'm in Texas.
Right. Exactly. And I got to tell you, Blood. You know, all of these people who have pulled out as sponsors of Glenn Beck, they are still advertising the sponsors on Fox. All Fox is doing is moving those sponsorship dollars around,
mm-hmm.
and that's in-house laundry. They're basically putting everyone in a pool, and
right.
Glenn Beck is in that pool too, and that's what
right.
they're funding it from.
Right.
Boycott any sponsor of Fox.
Right.
If sponsor Fox, don't buy it. And that is the weapon that should be used against
yeah.
Koch brothers and this right-wing hate machine. And I will continue to call for this boycott. Every time I can open my mouth, I will call for a boycott on Fox, Koch Industries. And, you know, Koch Industries has funneled over $500 million into our election cycle.
Right.
Because they put the tentacles of Americans for Prosperity, Freedom Works, American Enterprise Institute. There are hundreds. The last I heard, they fund over 40 different right-wing conservative think tanks.
You know, brother, go right ahead. Keep going, Alpha.
No, I just wanted to tap in on this. If you look at the guy, Melman, who came out as gay.
Right, right. Today,
the former Bush guy, now he's coming out as gay, but not until he has destroyed,
mm-hmm.
destroyed people's lives. During the Bush administration, he was the biggest advocate against gay lifestyle, gay marriage, gay rights. Now, here's another, now this isn't isolated. This is another case of
mm-hmm.
the right wing, I would have to call it moral majority, or the high ground, the moral high ground takers. That
mm-hmm.
are just, I mean, he's as guilty as what he's accusing everybody of.
Absolutely, you know, Alpha, the one of the things that I will not let go of, and I'm just like what you call a bull terrier, is Rush Limbaugh. You know, they romanticize these guys. You know, they try to make them like palatable, you know, easy for you to kind of, you know, enjoy and just kind of look at them and nostalgically. Rush Limbaugh, if you would Google, I say Google, use your favorite search engine and just type in there, Rush Limbaugh sides with the Taliban. You remember that?
Right.
He literally cited and said it. But, you know, they don't put that in a loop like they do, like they did Reverend Wright. Reverend Wright simply stated, "Goddamn America." He said that if you don't change your ways, it won't be God bless you. It'll be God damn you. And not in a cuss word way. The Bible speaks of eternal damnation. You know what I'm saying? And they looped that over and over, just that excerpt from his speech. And they will not, they refuse to put on there about Rush Limbaugh saying that the Taliban are the ones that's killing the troops in Afghanistan right today. And so, de facto, Sarah Palin sides with the Taliban. I mean, this is literally, to me, ridiculous, and the only way to me that you're going to find out anything about this is alternative media. And I appreciate Doc Don East Coast. Thank you for whatever you just posted. Doc Don East Coast just posted in here a site for this is about boycott Coke products. I got a copy of the site, and I will. But Alpha, you know I'm not overly excited. I want to be appropriately excited because I want to be in continuity with you, with Sister India Declare, with Sister Navazor, with every other progressive host that's on Blog Talk Radio. And no matter whatever the subject matter is, I would like to have the opportunity to be able to address these individuals like the Becks and the Sham Hannitys and the Fox Newses with, you know, a way that's totally nonviolent, and it has the potential to be very beneficial in redirecting the rhetoric in this country. And because the corporate media entities are not going to provide to me, in my opinion, this side of the information that you, Doc Don, Sister India Declare, Navazor, or I try to provide, or whomever else that's out there that I don't know. You know, there are a lot of, I'm new to Blog Talk Radio. There are a lot of people out here that I don't know yet that you're familiar with. But we try to provide a totally different perspective. You understand what I'm saying? And hopefully that I refuse to give up. People say, you know, well, how's your show going? It doesn't matter. I have to do what I have to do. And what I have to do is I'm like a stop sign or a traffic light. I can't tell you exactly what to do. I can only warn you give you an opportunity to realize that there are some things that we can do. And I would rather err on the side of things that we can get ourselves involved with that would be positive. And I think that Dr. Martin Luther King would support the things that we are talking about here and the way that we are, you know, engaging in it with a total nonviolent approach to it and a useful approach, something that everyone can do. It's just simply when you see it, and, you know, they do the coupon thing, you know, and that's a slick move. Is to move a Bronny product, for instance. I think you said Bronny paper towels. That's a slick move, is to use a coupon. And you can understand people wanting to save money. And they appeal to people from that perspective. But when our people begin to understand, and I'm sorry to hurt the individuals that work for Bronny, the forklift drivers, the pallet makers, the packagers, or whomever it is, whatever. But the point of it is that we can't continue to provide the rope and the noose and the horse and then slap it, you know, in order to commit our own suicide, if that makes any sense.
Well, you can't be apologetic for hurting someone that they are simply using. These people, these workers, people who would stand to lose out, they're going to lose out anyway because eventually their jobs will be shipped out.
Right,
these corporations, the Koch brothers, they care nothing about them. Nothing.
Right.
And that's what's important because we cannot continue to look to not hurt anyone.
Right.
We are not
right.
up there calling for Second Amendment remedies.
Right.
We're not
right.
out there publishing the addresses of elected officials.
Wow, yeah.
You have a group of hateful racists coming to town.
Right.
You can
exactly.
call it what you want.
Right.
Any this thing with Glenn Beck,
mm-hmm.
where's the sensitivity that they're calling for at ground zero?
Right.
Where's the sensitivity? You know, Black, you got about 6 minutes left.
Huh?
Or don't you?
I only got what? Come on now. No, I go to 8:30.
Oh, you got 30. Okay, you go to 8:30.
Yeah.
Okay. I was just
do
wondering.
Your thing. I'm telling you, Alpha, let me tell you that I'm honored and I'm grateful and I'm very appreciative for you giving me a call in, and I appreciate, and let me tell you, Sister India Declare, Black Magic Woman, Doc Don, East Coast. I don't know who guest 4263 is, but welcome to the room, 4266, guest 4377, and Sister Navazar. Sister Navazar, you guys, please, anytime you feel like it, I'm here Thursday, 7 to 8:30 p.m. until I retire, which I'm hopefully going to do in the next couple of years. But, you know, I really appreciate you bringing information and insight to the program because, you know, like I say, I'm a little bit new. But I'm just firmly, I firmly believe in what we're doing, and I'm so much just gratified to be associated with you guys on to any degree whatsoever. So don't worry about the time. Just do what, you know, say what you have to say because you're so much more informed than I am. And, but I'm just passionate about this thing. I wanted to say this, and I'll give you back the mic. But Doc Don, let me check. You guys, I'm sorry, I'm not watching the room. If y'all decide to give a call, please do. You know, you're welcome to the call. The number to call is 347-945-7040. And if you choose to give a call, I really would appreciate it. But you know, I watched this happen, Alpha, in 2000. My daughter graduated from college in with a degree in management information systems. Okay, now if you remember, right along in that time period, the internet was blowing up. That's when Yahoo was kicking it, and Mark Cuban. That's when he made all of his money. That's when the internet. And I watched. I work in the oil industry, you know, but I watched. The money began to, the stock market for the, I mean, you know, the stock prices for oil, I watched them begin to drop and because people were investing into high tech industry. Okay, you know what I'm talking about? You
right.
You remember that? Now I'm gonna show you something. Right along about that time, the that's when the saber rattling started with Kuwait. I believe it was Kuwait. I watched the brakes hit on the high-tech industry, and I watched the money flow because, the threat. It wasn't the actual event. It was the threat of the event that began to drive oil prices back up. Now when you talk about changing you're talking about a lot of stocks. You're talking about a lot of stockholders. I mean, these people are very resistant. They are in the power. They're in control. They have the money. They have the influence. And they are not, you know, they don't want to give it up easily. But, you know, the point of it is that it's just mechanical. It's mechanical in this regard that you began to conserve. And that is it's something that we need to do. We need to conserve our resources, and we need to redirect our resources because they can't provide the incentive and necessary to reignite this economy to the extent that we can all get involved in it. This money is getting held up on Wall Street, and there is nothing produced on Wall Street. There is no product being made on Wall Street. These guys are taking percentages of resources. And they are investing them. They're not investing those into the economy. And when you hear these guys talking about redistribution of wealth, they are redistributing the wealth from the middle class to the upper class. And that's what's so crazy to me. So I guess here's what I'm saying, is that there is going to be a tremendous amount of resistance because it gets to me deeper. But the things that we can do are stop buying the products for the companies that are misleading us. Stop buying the products from the companies that's misleading. But it's deeper than that, and then this is what I mean by that, is that the trade policies are going to have to change. There are going to have to be numerous things that occur to put us back in a position, all of us, where we're all doing good. And the worst thing that can happen, I'm watching people in conversations and different things talk about the recovery is not working, the stimulus is not working, jobs are not being created, da-da-da-da-da, because all of this is really slanted back to Obama. Now, it took 8 years to dig this hole that's been dug. It took 8 years, and it's really smooth and slick how these guys can throw it to Obama to say, well, I'm amazed that you haven't filled this 8-year hole up in 2 years. And the people are buying it. You know what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, Bly. And the people are buying it because it's repetitive and it's being said over and over and over again. One of the stark contrasts is that you see Nancy Pelosi in front of a camera once or twice every other month. You see soft-spoken, real soft-spoken, mm-hmm. Harry Reid, you know, the former boxer, the fighter. You see him in front of a camera maybe once or twice every other month. You see Mitch McConnell in front of a camera 5 days a week. John Boehner, 5 days a week. If you notice John Boehner and the big economic speech he made yesterday or day before.
That big empty speech.
That big empty speech. And what was the first thing Obama's got to? He said it 4 different times. This is what Obama's got to do. Obama, and then he called for the firing of Summers and Geithner.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he asked, where are the jobs? Where are the jobs? Where are the jobs? And instead of someone coming out and saying, where are the votes? Because they have voted over 90% against 13 different jobs bills that would give small businesses mm-hmm. tax cuts mm-hmm. to hire people.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what they are getting away with because of the producers behind the cameras who mm-hmm. allow the right-wing conservative groups, and they are corporately right-wing owned, to mm-hmm. push the narrative. And I dare say to you, when Joe Biden spoke, everybody covered whatever he said. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
All Joe Biden has to do is go to the camera on a daily basis. And don't be so soft with his pushback. All he's got to do is point out, you know, if Nancy Pelosi came in front of a camera 3 or 4 times a week and pointed out the no votes, the 90%, the 95%, the 98% no votes that the Republicans cast against 13 different jobs bills.
Mm-hmm.
And then ask them, where are the votes? If you give us the votes, we'll get the jobs. And drop it in their lap. This is some serious malfeasance when it comes to the Democratic message.
Well, you know, though, Alpha, this is my observation, and this is what I appreciate about you. You and I, we're congruent on a lot of issues. Here's my observation, is that the constituents, you know, this is a momentum swing, and the Republicans have had an opportunity to establish this over generations, literally generations that are loyal. I remember, Alpha, I remember, and I was thinking of this tonight, I remember when Rush Limbaugh came on the air. I remember because Michael Jackson used to be on the air that was coming out of California before Rush Limbaugh. And Rush Limbaugh came on the air back in around 1980 or so. I'm telling you, I remember his first show. I remember when he was relieving Michael Jackson, and I remember whenever he ended up taking over that spot. And it was disaffected Reagan supporters is who supported Rush Limbaugh for the longest time. He never had a commercial for the longest time. And I'll tell you what, Tom Hartman does I don't like Tom Hartman that much on a lot of issues, but a lot of issues I'm in total agreement with him. But Tom Hartman, that's T-H-O-M, T-O-M, whatever, TomHartman.com.
Yeah.
He, you know what I'm talking about.
I'm not with Tom Hartman. Well, I am a huge fan of Tom Hartman because he is one of the most knowledgeable radio talk show hosts in the country when it comes to knowledge, when it comes to facts, when it comes to history.
Absolutely. You know, but what happened was that Limbaugh came on the air, and that was when the momentum. And see, it was I think who came? It was Clinton? I believe it was when Clinton was that when Clinton won? I can't remember exactly. I get that stuff mixed up. But anyway, and he courted the Reagan vote, and he was vehement. I mean, he was passionate about the Reagan legacy and all this. This is before all the real information came out about Reagan, and the momentum was just tremendous. And they began to initiate it against Bill Clinton. They took advantage of this guy, you know, because the stress will make you do a lot of stuff, I believe. But they took advantage of this guy. This guy, he was a pretty sharp guy initially.
Limbaugh?
Huh? No, Clinton. No,
Limbaugh. Well, Limbaugh, I don't mean to cut you off, but Limbaugh's growth was simply this. When you sell a radio show to a station, they pay you X amount of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
They gave Limbaugh's show away free
to
expand him.
Like,
and then they took a larger percentage of the sponsors.
Okay,
That's how his radio show became as large as it has grown to, because they gave it away free across the nation.
Bill Gates' marketing model.
Exactly. That's the old give the drugs away free and they'll come back when they get hooked.
You know. And the thing of it, you know what though, brother, this Alpha, listen, let me tell you, and I won't, you know, talk about this much. I'll just suffice it to say, I believe in what we're doing, and I believe in it more than just it is kind of a pastime in a way with me, but it's not. It's a passion with me, because I suggest give alternative. And if people then let them opt for whichever side, but at least let me do the best that I can to put an alternative out within the grasp of anyone that chooses to. Because, this thing is swung, and the momentum was so great. Limbaugh was, you remember when Limbaugh, he was the only thing on the air. That dude was super bad. As James Brown, he was super bad. There was nobody that could touch him. And I've looked at things began to change. You know what I'm saying? I've looked at the MSNBC crowd. Keith Olbermann is one of the strongest that I've seen come out in a long time. And I think it started with some guys on CNN. Oh, Crossfire and those guys. You know, there were some guys like even, you know, James Carville and some of those guys back in the day, you know. They were, and then that old man, I can't remember him and the Dark Vader guy, whatever, the two guys that had the Crossfire show. But
that was Bill Preston, Novak.
Well, it was Novak, but it was, and I remember when Pat Buchanan was on, but it was another old man.
Pat Buchanan, he was a host there, but look at you know, when you speak about the beginning and Limbaugh. And
right,
Limbaugh
right.
was just he was just a tool. He was just a piece
right.
of it. Because
exactly.
that's when they began to shrink the radio and the television markets, because
exactly.
the corporations began to buy them all up.
Exactly.
That way, they controlled the media, and that's what you were witnessing, the taking down of our media. And as our media got taken down and controlled, and you know they were basically, you know, corralled into five corporations, we had no say over the content, and the FCC crumbled like a house of cards. Before
exactly.
the Republican administration.
Exactly. You know, but, you know, Alpha, the thing of it is that the voting, the dominant voting, because, see, you and I, Doc Don, Navazor, Black Magic Woman, East Coast, and I don't know who my guests are here, but we couldn't buy into that. because there were, I mean, and it's not trying to be offensive to anyone, but there weren't the lynchings, there weren't the dogs being sick, there weren't the billy clubs and the water hoses. We couldn't buy into this junk because we were always scrutinizing it. But they had a way with that, again, that was about the Southern strategy that I was talking about earlier, to appeal to these guys and control the dominant voting culture. And they got so much stuff entrenched, even the insurance, everything, the capitalist Wall Street, these guys got all this stuff entrenched by utilizing that conduit of Limbaugh and a few other guys. You know, the chamber comes out, you know, but anyway, they got this stuff entrenched, and it's going to be so difficult for Obama in one term, and not only just for him to hold on to him for himself, but to have enough impact on this very resilient force that is so well funded and so it's almost a juggernaut. But a buddy of mine used to tell me anything with moving parts can be broke, and that's the philosophy that I adhere to. But these guys were so prominent and dominant for such a long period of time, and we get really frustrated and disgusted and start to back down and we start, you know, cannibalizing ourselves, and I'm just so grateful, man. I can't tell you how grateful that I am to be able to communicate with you and my dear sis, Miss India Sis Navasar, with Doc Don, East Coast, and you know the rest of the guys, Alpha. There's a guy, O. Henry. What's the OC? What's the other guy? OC.
Our Common Ground, hosted by Janice Graham. She also is the CEO of TruthWorks Network.
See, you know, these, you, man, I'm, Alpha, hang on with me, brother. Just drag me along, will you? I'm trying to hang in there with y'all. Y'all are some forces to be reckoned with. This is, to me, the alternative media. This is, to me, what's needed out here in today's world. It's just laying it out there. Take it if you want to, and if you don't go along with, if you don't, then go along with whatever they choose to go along with, the dominant media culture, the corporate media, whatever you want to call them. But we are the alternative, and I'm so grateful that we have this opportunity, and that's why I'm trying to take full advantage of it, and that's why I really appreciate you, and thank you for being here with me. And brother, please, anytime, will you do that? Anytime, keep that in mind. Come back.
Well, I absolutely. I had missed your show, I guess, the week before. At certain times I tune out because I'm watching either Overman or Rachel Maddow. There is a young man who subbed for Ed Schultz this evening. He's from the Young Turks. And it will air again on MSNBC tonight at 2:00 Central Time, and it was that show will air again, and he really gets after it. I dare say, I believe he will be the next person on MSNBC to get a program as a progressive, but he's spot on. His name is, he's got a strange name, spelled C-E-N-G-U-R-G-U, Jink Kirk or something to that effect, but he subbed for Ed Schultz on the Ed Show tonight, and he's worth listening to because he calls them out with such vitriol, and that's what I like about him. He will not mince words. He and Ed Schultz get after these people the way they should be gotten after. Did I lose you? Black? Black, are you there?
Brother Alpha.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I got disconnected somehow. Did I catch you in mid-thought? If I did, go ahead and finish your thought.
No, I didn't know. I didn't know when you when we got disconnected. I just heard the silence.
No,
yeah,
hey,
I think I was the only one on. You're right.
You were.
Oh, okay. But you know, with these new faces as they come out, this has to be a concerted effort, not on all of the progressive liberal on the part of all progressives and liberals. We cannot just sit back and watch this transfer of wealth. They're accusing this administration of being socialist and redistribution of wealth. But guess what? That's what they are guilty of.
Exactly.
They're trying to continue the redistribution of wealth to the top 2% by simply flat out lying. And instead of these politically correct politicians, when they call them out, just say, "Sorry, sir, you are a liar." There's another site that I'm going to post in your chat room.
Okay.
And this particular site covers what we have witnessed under the Bush administration and how damaging it has been for, you know, the middle class. The middle class have fallen victim to this simply because this is how it was intended. And this simply tells us that, and I'll take about 3 minutes or so to run this as much of this down to you.
Take your time.
Okay. 83% of all U.S. stocks are in the hands of 1%. 1% of the people. So 83% of all the stocks belong to the upper 1% of all the people. 61% of Americans always or usually live paycheck to paycheck. And up to 49%, and that's up from 49% in 2008, and 43% in 2007. 66% of the income growth between 2001 and 2007 went to the top 1% of all Americans. 36% of Americans say they don't contribute anything to retirement savings. A staggering 43% of Americans have less than $10,000 saved for retirement. 24% of American workers say they have postponed their plan to retire as the retirement age has passed. Over 1.4 million Americans filed for personal bankruptcy in 2009, which represents a 32% increase over 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to add this, and this isn't in this list. But when you hear Republicans say this president, look at the spending he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason they're able to say that is because this president took the wars that Bush didn't add to the books and put them on the books, which has shot the debt and the deficit sky high.
Mm-hmm.
So they're using that. They're using his accounting credibility to carry their lie. And back to this list.
Mm-hmm.
Only the top 5% of U.S. households have earned enough additional income to match the rise in household costs since 1975. For the first time in U.S. history, banks own a greater share of residential housing net worth in the United States than all individual Americans put together.
Mm-hmm.
In 1950, the ratio of average executive pay to the average worker's paycheck was about 30-1. Since the year 2000, and that's a very significant year because you know who took over then, that ratio exploded between 300-500-1.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see people, the low information voters, voting against their interests and voting for Republicans, then you have to ask yourself, what is the motivator? As of 2007, the bottom 80% of American households held about 7% of the liquid financial assets. And this list, this is a pretty long list. But what this list indicates to you is that the middle class is cratered. It's all this wealth, all this money is going to the top 2%, 3%. And they are the ones who are crying. They are the ones who are uneasy. They are skittish. They are uncertain about whether or not to hire anyone. And that's another lie. All they are doing is sitting on the wealth, choking the economy, and basically devastating Americans' lives by not hiring as they would normally do. And if this president is not successful, they will continue. As soon as he's out of office, they will start hiring. This president is fighting the Republicans.
Right.
He's fighting the rich, which is the Chamber of Commerce. Mm-hmm. He's fighting the billionaires, which are the Koch brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this wealth he's fighting, and they are controlling the nation. If you control the courts, you control the country.
Mm-hmm.
And right now this president has got about 40 judicial nominees that have been seated, whereas every president in our history through the first 20 months has had over 80. So he has less than half of his judicial nominees seated. And that's what's so nefarious, and that's what's so insidious about what they are doing. They are crafting a system that is lopsided against the people. They are stacking the courts. They've already stacked the Supreme Court. This is why there's such vitriol hatred against Sotomayor and now Kagan.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what they are doing.
You know, and the brother Alpo, let me see, it's 22 after. Do this, brother Alpo. Would you? I wish Navazar, before you go, if you're not already gone, would you please put the time and day? And let me also suggest that Sister India Declare is on daily. That's Monday through Saturday at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. And Sister Navazar, if you haven't gone, if you would just put your show time in here. I know she's going to be in there. And Alpha, would you please make us aware, apprise us of your show time again? And because, listen, I'm telling you, man, you're providing us with some information that is extremely intriguing and informative and inspirational. Now, what I would like to say in regard to that is this, that the dominant, I wanted to ask you, and this is a thought that came to my mind. You remember the big deal, Navazar? Would you please put your show time in here, Navazar, so I can announce it, please, if you don't mind. But you know what, Brother Alpho, what about the red states? you know, how do the red states blame Obama? What I've wondered about is the sanctity of the vote. How these people are so sanctimonious about the way they voted that they can't acknowledge that they were incorrect in having voted for Bush, and Bush is the one that literally has strangled this economy. And so I was listening to it. I was in the chat room just a little bit earlier before I came online here. Black shows on Black Talk. And there are many different genres. Okay, thank you, East Coast. I appreciate that. I'll mention that here in just a second. But you know, the idea to me is that the dominant voting culture they are so invested in this ideology, this theoretical approach that they should be, you know, it's weird. I mean, this is really strange to me that it's not about citizens. It's about, you know, their ethnicities. And you know what, I need to, and this is why people think, well, why are you always, you know, pro-black, pro-black? No, I'm just trying to make a statement that, you know, we have had to fight. We haven't been riding that sled, and these guys have been riding that sled to the off the cliff. And I'm like, dudes, don't you realize that it's going to take all of our efforts and coalitions to come together and change the situation? Because they believe in redistribution of wealth. The Republicans believe strongly in redistribution of wealth, but they believe redistributing the middle class and the lower socioeconomic groups' wealth to the upper echelon. That's where their redistribution. Our redistribution depends on the fact to make more available to us in the middle class, and we'll buy shingles and sheetrock and concrete and tires and whatever else, you know, dishwashers and refrigerators or whatever, and they need to be all American products so that we can get our American factories going. But again, you know, then they say, well, you create jobs. There is no demand. See, this is the stupid thing about Ronald Reagan, supply side economics, which to me suggests that as long as I have supply, then I can move my product. And I mean, I was fighting against that from the 80s. I'm like, supply means nothing if you don't have a demand. If you don't have people that have the wherewithal to purchase your product, then you don't have to remanufacture it. I mean, once it's gone, I mean, you know, there's no financial resources to purchase the product. You know, and then he moved skillfully and methodically and systematically moved the manufacturing. Because you remember the deal about the service economy? Oh, we need a service. He skillfully moved the jobs overseas, left us with nothing, then took the service economy and took it to India and the Philippines and Costa Rica and all these different places. I mean,
and
this is – huh? I'm sorry.
Right. You're absolutely right. You got about 4 minutes left, Flack.
Put the show on here.
And I know you're just getting off the ground, but you're doing a great job.
Alpha, thank you. I just do your thing. When's your show and all that? I need to know.
Okay. I'm on blogtalkradio.com/Alpha, A-L-F-O. Saturdays, 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And I follow up with another hour on TruthWorks Network at 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and it's called The Alpha Show, blogtalkradio.com/TruthWorks, and you can hear me for the second hour, and that's on the network with Janice Graham.
I'm going to butt in here, and I'm going to say this right quick. Not meaning to cut you off, but I'm going to butt in here. I listened. I called in, and I was thoroughly impressed and informed. I was enthused, excited, energized. Tremendous show. Tremendous show with Sister Indy DeClaire. And I don't. Does Doc Don have a show?
Not sure.
Okay.
We want him to get one because he has a great deal of knowledge and
process. Oh, man.
Doc Don really turns into our research guy. He's
right.
Basically on top of it all. And he basically
Absolutely.
Brings a lot of things to the table, and we're just glad and thankful and blessed to have him as part of our family. Now, get rid of that damn dog.
hey, bud, I got 90 seconds. Alpha, come back, please. Come back.
Thanks,
enjoy
Barry.
It. Oh, no, stop it, man. Come back anytime. I really appreciate it. And peace and blessings, everybody. Thank you all for joining us right here on the next phase with Black Ice and Friends. And my co-host and a very nice friend that I've met was Mr. Alpha. And his show is heard Saturdays. Alpha, let me let you say it again before I mess it up. Are you still there? It's Block Talk Radio, Alpha, Saturdays, 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So I think he hung up on me. But anyway, peace and blessings, everybody. Alpha, Black Magic Woman, Doc Don, East Coast, Guest 4263, Guest 4266, Guest 5155, and my dear sis, Mrs. Navazor 1, thank you so much. And I don't know where my sister Claire is, but blessings to each and everybody, and I hope you join us again Thursday, 7 to 8:30 p.m., right here with the next phase with Black Ice and Friends. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week. God bless you and your family throughout this week and forever.